for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 26th, 1977. Midwinter camp meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Win Worley is the speaker of the afternoon.
I had my usual nice time getting ready for a meeting. Everything in the world went wrong. I need a book under this to block it up a little. You got a book of some kind? Ordinarily, when I'm going for a meeting, it is almost like a tornado going through the house and the church and everything else. Just about everything happened. Thank you. And usually does. This morning I had to get up at 4:30, which is an ungodly hour. Or any hoot owl to be up at that hour of the night. But I don't like to get up and wake the birds up. But there wasn't any birds around. They was all froze out up at my place. It was about zero this morning. And I told my people last night, I said, you have to really love the Lord to go down to camp when you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to make it. I had to catch a bus and get to the airfield, which is about 60 miles away. I had to get there by 7 o'clock plane, which meant I had to get there at 6:30. So I was up at 4:30, and I'd called 2 days ago. I'd made all the arrangements, and there was supposed to be a cab pick me up at 5 o'clock at the house. And 10 minutes to 5, I thought, you know, it'd be just like the devil to mess that up. And if I miss that plane, I won't get to Hot Springs. I'd sit in Memphis all day long. I won't get there till 10 o'clock tonight. That's the last plane that comes in. So I thought, well, I'll just call and double check. And 10 minutes to 5, I called the cab company, and he said, no, Mr. Worley, I don't find any record here at all. I said, can you get me from Lansing to Highland to catch that 5:30 bus? He said, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll get it over there. And sure enough, he got me on there. But the devil didn't want it that way. So I'm looking forward to see what the Lord is doing that the devil was so upset about. I bring you greetings from the saints at Heglish who are busily engaged in spiritual warfare at this time. They've locked in on all the princes up over this place and are knocking the daylights out of them. They've got them pinned down. And they're binding the stuffings out of them. My army's gone to war. We had a packed out house yesterday morning, and I called on all the saints to go to war with the princes over this place and bind them so that we could go in and mop up the enemy on the ground. And one of the elders raised his hand and said, which princes would you think we ought to bind the most up there, Pastor Worley? So I named off several I thought might be interfering with things here. I said, knock the prince of the occult out, because he's over the whole state, and then all his underlings are over Hot Springs. I said, especially religious deception, because I ran into some of that when I was here last time. And so praise the Lord. My Navy's standing offshore shelling this coast to pin the enemy down. That's the way it works, you know. If you've got people back who know how to pray, they're off over the horizon. You can't even see the ships, but you'll hear boom. And then here comes a boom. And they're nailing down the people that are down in the enemy that's on the shores. And here comes the landing barges with the troops coming in for when. There's going to be some victories here this week. I can't remember when I've looked forward to meeting more of these two nuts over here. I don't think they've got any more sense than I have, and so we ought to have a real slam-bang battle with the devil this week. Praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord. I believe God is going to give wonderful victory, and I know he's going to liberate people. I know he's still in the business. Since I was here, I was up in the northeast corner of Maine, and then I flew home and jumped all the way to California. I've been down to Texas. I've been all circling everywhere. As a matter of fact, this last year, I think I've been out of the state an average of 10 days out of the month at least, flying here, there, and yonder where the Lord is opening doors. And he is opening doors. The religious leaders are desperately trying to put chinks back in the dike, but the leak is coming through. And this next year, there are meetings in the most outlandish places you can imagine being talked about and prayed about, from Hawaii to Maine to Florida to Texas to Idaho, New Mexico, Kentucky, Tennessee, just all over. And the Holy Spirit is going to do it in spite of everything. Now, usually, when somebody starts planning to have me in a meeting, they usually lose their job if they have the job of picking the speakers. So if you happen to be in a leadership capacity and you had any thought of having me over for a meeting, you better pray and see if you're ready to give up your job, because that's happened to some folks who decided to move in that direction. But God is overruling, and there's not anything going to stop the avalanche of power that's coming. The prophecies are getting stronger all the time, but the Holy Spirit is going to come through like a tornado. Now, when a tornado comes through, you don't have to ask, did we have a storm? Did the wind come through? Why, things are just up, trees are uprooted, houses, cars, everything tossed around like toothpicks. And you look and say, wow, what a storm. Well, that's the way it's going to be when God comes through. We haven't seen anything yet. But the power is coming. It's coming like a tornado. And the third book is already taking shape. Testimonies are pouring in from, there's a bunch of testimonies coming in from Maine. There's some coming in from California that are just stupendous. And the testimonies are critical because so many people are reading them and writing in. And we have a lady that's supposed to come in from Maryland who's has lizards and everything else coming out of her, and her tummy's swelling up like she was 7 months pregnant, and moans coming out of her stomach. So I told her to come and see Glenn and Irma. Thought I'd keep them busy when they don't have anything to do. No, seriously, you pray for this dear sister. Definitely she's demonized, and she's been going through this for 21 miserable years. She's 42 years old, and she said for 21 years, she said, thank God for battling the host of hell, the diary of an exorcist. I got a hold of it. I've been praising God ever since. And said, even as I write this, I'm having the most terrible fight trying to get these words on paper. These things are all upset. Oh, listen, folks. There's a battle to be won. This is not some little peanut firecracker type thing. This is dynamite moving through. Now, let me say this. I may say this several times during the meeting because, you know, deliverance is a much maligned subject. And most people that have gotten into it, they have found a better way, which means they cover up the demons and go on about their business and leave the people in misery. I know, because I found some of those people who were dealt with in a better way, and they're suffering the agonies of the damned. And they said, but they told me I was all right. I said, are you? No, the same things are going on. But they said it was because I didn't have any faith. I said, faith hadn't got anything to do with it, sister. When you get delivered, you'll know it. You won't have to have faith. You can just say, praise God. It's there. When you're delivered, you're delivered. And I don't care who prays for you. No difference, no deliverance. If you've got 50 of one kind of spirit and you got 45 of them out, you'll still have the same symptoms. Those last five will kick up a rumpus and you'll think, none of them left. But you're better. And they'll weaken. All you have to do is turn the big guns in them. Now, they brought me over here, but they left my clothes over at Little Rock and left my Bible. So since I didn't have my trusty Bible with me, I had to borrow one. And the only thing I could...
All those notes that you can't get along without.
That's right. I have to have notes. Very much so. I see some of you have heard me preach before. The only thing I could think of, though, when I prayed, I said, Lord, I haven't got my trusty Bible. Now, where do you want me to start? He said, how about the first chapter of Romans? I said, that sounds good. Real nice. So if you'll go with me, please, to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We'll talk about the progression down, the three steps down to the reprobate mind, where the demons take over people and how they get them. Because this is still very much in operation today. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it's interesting that this word that's translated salvation is the same word as deliverance. Isn't that great? It's salvation is deliverance, isn't it? Now, deliverance is not everything. It'll not make you automatically spiritual. It'll not automatically make you anything. But it will help you to get on your feet spiritually and give you a fighting chance for the devil where you've been stomped in the ground with no hope before. And I guarantee you one thing, if you never had hatred come at you from the Christian community, you'll get it when you get delivered. Because every demon and all those nice religious folks will turn on you. We had an interesting thing just happen. I have to stop and tell you this. I think it's kind of funny. I live in a village, it's Lansing, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago, has about 26, 27,000 people, and they have a daily paper that comes out, well, it comes out 3 days a week. It's in a regular newspaper. So some things happened, and a lady called me and wanted to interview me. She found out they had an author living in the town. And so somebody told her, and so she came over and had an interview with me, and she took the books along with her. And she came out and said, well, she's going to write this interview up. And I thought, well, it'll be over on the back pages, maybe a little postage stamp size, you know. And they even sent a photographer to take a picture of me. And so about 3 days later, I walked into the big grocery chain store there. And I thought, well, I better pick up a newspaper. And I walked over, and there sat the Lansing Sun Journal. And, wow, I thought, who is that bird? Good grief, that's me. And there it was, right on the front page, the whole one-third of the front page. It said, Lansing exorcist bears scars from demons. And that... I mean, she wrote it up good. And in the process of the interview, I mentioned to her that we had a 5-acre tract of land already purchased in Lansing where we'd planned to build a deliverance center, but that we were also dickering with the idea of, instead of stopping to build right now, to just buy the Calvary Baptist Church right across the line in Highland, Indiana, and move there temporarily, and then maybe expand over into Lansing later. I told my congregation after that paper came out, I said, I'll guarantee you one thing. Some of those dear Baptists, Christian Reformed, and other good religious folk in Lansing, we've got a lot of prayer support to go to Highland. I know that. They're busy asking, Lord, Lord, send them to Highland. Don't let them stop in Lansing. After reading that, one lady whose husband comes to our church, she's a dear old Jezebel, and she goes to a very proper church, and she thinks I have horns and a tail and some other appurtenances. And so she looked at her husband and she said, Herman, I am ashamed for you. The very idea you go to that terrible place where that man is. He not only goes, he's been there a long time. He's not planning to leave anytime soon. All right. But praise the Lord for the upset that it causes in the religious community. You can't walk after Jesus and follow the word of God without causing a stir in the religious community. Your worst enemies are going to come among those who should be shouting glory. That's right. When Jesus rode in on the donkey, you remember that? The little children clapping their hands and running and shouting, Hosanna, praise God, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Put a stop to that. It's disgraceful. Disgusting. Those children don't know what they're saying. Oh, how blasphemous. Tell them to stop. Jesus said, are you sure that's what you'd like? If they stop, the stones will start clapping their hands and yelling. Somebody's going to yell for God's Son when he comes through, friend. It'd be a whole lot easier to take when human beings are doing it than from the rocks start jumping up and down and clapping their hands. But you'll find these old religious folks, and boy, they'll come at you shaking their Bible in your face. Don't you let that bother you, and just shout hallelujah and go on. Amen. I'll tell you, we still have schizophrenics being set free in a matter of weeks instead of months and years, and I don't understand it, but I sure am thankful. You read the testimony of two of them in that book. There's a third one writing her testimony out now. God has miraculously delivered. He's healing people. And the prophecies say that the healings are going to become so stupendous, they're going to sweep like a tornado, and nobody's going to be able to open their mouth. And everybody that opens their mouth will be branded as a liar because the people will know that it's true. Listen, friend, we're on the winning team. And you know something? Even if we wasn't, I'd still go down with my colors flying and shouting hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Tape recorder is turning on the rock.
Praise the Lord. I might say this, for those of you, since I don't seem to be getting to my message very fast, I might say this, that many of you have prayed for battling the host of hell. The Spanish translation is in the States. It came to the States. We sent it back to Guatemala for final corrections. And Cliff Dudley of New Leaf Publishers is going to use his influence to get it to go out through Bethany Fellowship in Minneapolis, which will give it worldwide distribution in the Spanish language. The first major work on deliverance to go out in the Spanish language. So pray that the day will be speeded. Norman Parrish is going over the final thing, and he's about the busiest man I know of. And he told me recently, he was in our church, and he said, "Wynn, send that manuscript to me. I'll go over it. It's so stupendously important that that get thing. I'll take time and do it. I don't have time, but I'll do it." And so, and he said, "We'll be the distribution center in all of Central and South America with the Continental Missionary Crusade." So, praise the Lord, it's going to go, folks. Conquering the Host of Hell has, well, there's about 3,500 copies of Battling the Host of Hell out already. And then New Leaf has come out with an edition. They're pushing all over the country because I'm getting letters from all over creation. And their copies are going many places. If you've seen New Leaf's edition, the only difference is it has a dark blue cover and it's a lot thicker because it's on cheaper paper, but it's the same book. And everything in it, every word's the same. But praise the Lord for New Leaf pushing it. They're pushing it across the country. And the devil is still fighting it, but people are getting free where it's going. Thank God. And then Conquering the Host of Hell, there was, 900 copies went out the first month after its publication. And there's about 1,600 copies out now, I think. And this came out the 15th of October. And that's a little short of phenomenal, really. And it's just, and of course, the Millers here have just this month put it out in their paper. And before, they had copies going all over the country and all over the world. It's in 14 or 15, Battling the Host of Hell is in 14 or 15 foreign countries already. One just recently went to Haiti and one went to Honduras. And so, praise the Lord. By the way, you might pray about Haiti, because I met a lady who has a camp in Haiti. She was down in Florida. She said, "You got to come over to my camp in Haiti sometime." Can you imagine what a nest there'd be over in Haiti, huh? And so, I'd like to go over there and meet those, too. You know, I tell you, it's blessed. We have people, one man just wrote, and he said, "I'm pulling up stakes. I'm selling out in Los Angeles area. I'm moving to Chicago. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to train for about 6 months, and then I'm coming back to Los Angeles and establish a deliverance ministry. I want to come to Hagwish and get my training." Isn't that something? The Lord is moving. He's going to have his work done. He's going to find people that will do it. And I might say this, pumping septic tanks is still not very popular, but it's very necessary. And God has said we must attack the enemy and destroy him. And it's time he got destroyed.
Amen.
Let's expose him, how he gets into people. Here we go. "There in his righteousness," verse 17, "of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by baptism, going to church and doing good things. And above all, giving their money." No, the just are going to live by faith. If you're going to live, you're going to live by faith. All the other things are strictly supplementary. Deliverance won't do everything, friend, but what it does, nothing else will. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against how much ungodliness and how much unrighteousness." That means if God finds ungodliness and unrighteousness in his own children, the wrath of God's going to be revealed against that too. He's not partial, you know. If he finds this filth in our lives, his wrath is revealed against it also. "Who hold the truth," the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, "who hold the truth and unrighteousness." And boy, we've got a lot of that going on in the religious circles today. If you want to be a missionary, why don't you ask the Lord if he's not calling you to be a missionary to the body of Christ? Inside the Church of Jesus Christ, I mean, inside the groups of the born-again ones, there's a lot of mission work to be done. Did you know that? And nobody's doing it. There's no great crowd of people trying to beat down the door and get in, I'll tell you. Because you usually get your head beat off when you try. Maybe that discourages some. But it ought not to discourage you if you know what God wants you to do. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." That is, in the men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. It cannot be hidden. Manifest means to be declared openly, publicly. It's manifest unto them, for God has showed it unto them. Now, God has shown people what's wrong. And notice this, the invisible things of him, God, are from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, this is the reason why the heathen are lost. Because that which may be known of God is revealed clearly by God to them, even without the Bible, even without the name of Jesus. Did you realize that? Do you realize that even in the things of the creation, that men and women become aware of God, and they reject that revelation of God, and of course they don't have the complete revelation. But you take an oil company over here with a big tank of some kind of fuel oil they're storing. They don't have to pump every gallon, thousands and thousands of gallons of that, and check it. They reach down in there and take a sample of that oil, a small few ounces of it. They run it through a check, and they can tell you what's in that tank. God doesn't have to run through everything, everything that you ever do or think. He can take a sample and tell. If you won't believe one thing about him, you won't believe the other either. Unbelief is unbelief. Faith is faith. Now, the reason for the heathen being lost and the reason they must be reached with the news of salvation is because they are lost. If they are not lost, then Jesus Christ was a fool. He should have stayed in heaven. Because if they could be saved some other way, then his coming down sure messed everything up. Because now they can't be saved. But as a matter of fact, everybody was lost, and Jesus came to undo the work of the devil and to destroy and tear down his work and build up God's work in its stead. Now, the invisible things are made, are understood, are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, and there is no excuse for going on in ignorance. And men and women can run around and say, I don't care, I don't understand, I don't do this. Well, there's no excuse. They have rejected the revelation of God they had. It may not have been a clear revelation. They may not have seen Jesus Christ on the cross. They may have never heard about the resurrection. But the revelation of God they got in nature, they twisted and turned to their own destruction. So God knew and can justly say, if they had the revelation of Jesus, my son, they'd do the same thing. And they stand condemned, and every creature stands condemned before God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The first thing that happens when people come across spiritual knowledge, instead of glorifying God as God, what do? Because they were not thankful, they become vain in their imaginations, and as a consequence of this, their foolish hearts are darkened. This is why you have people starting out dabbling around a little with the Bible and getting a hold of a truth or two and then going haywire. The Bible didn't drive them out of their mind. You've heard about that, haven't you? You know, if you read the Bible too much, you'll lose your mind. Well, as dirty as some people's minds are, it'd be good to have a replacement. But nevertheless, that's not what drives people out of their mind. That's not what puts them in the asylum. It's the twisting and the wickedness of the evil, the old sin nature working in collaboration with the devil, that causes people to become confused, upset, and have breakdowns and all the rest of the thing, that play right into the hands of the devil. When they know God, they become vain in their imaginations. There's nothing prouder than a religious, proud person. Did you ever meet Super Christian number one walking down the street? Try to talk to them about deliverance. I see some of you have met some of them. Yes. Oh, listen. You want to fight on your hands. You try to share with them the blessed truth that Jesus also provided for deliverance. I'm saved. I got it all. I've looked at them and I said, yes, you really have, haven't you? Because they looked at me like they picked up everything they ever brushed up against, like a sponge. Every nasty thing that ever came along latched onto them like a bunch of old barnacles on the ship. And the poor old ship is coming apart at seams, rotted, leaking. And here she is sailing proudly on while she sinks. She's saying, I'm all right. Blah, 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 blah. You know, there are so many churches today. And people, one of the things that happens in our little church when people come, and our church is little too. I'm not kidding. A lot of people, they walk in and say, it's so little. I said it was little. I said it was a tiny church. Nobody believes me. It's a little bitty church. But it has a big heart. Has a big God. And when people walk in and the love is flowing and the people are so glad to see it. Matter of fact, we had a love feast just sweep the place Sunday morning. It just boggled the devil's mind. He got all upset and disturbed, didn't know which way to run, so we just ran him out. And he left lots of people that Sunday morning, praise the Lord. I think we got home 3 o'clock or so to eat. We'd already had a good meal, though. But what I'm saying is people come in and they say, I never was in a place where people could stand and admit there was something wrong with them. Our people don't put on airs. They just get up and say, boy, I blew it. Praise the Lord, he chastened me. I thank God for it. One boy got up and said, I've been praising the Lord for my stupid car. It's been icing up and I can't even see. The blower won't work and I can't see out. So I started praising the Lord about it and said, my windows hadn't iced up since. I said, I praise the Lord because he's teaching me through trials. He wasn't particularly enjoying it, but I mean, he was praising the Lord in him. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? I don't always pass the test, do you? It's easier to laugh about it after it happens, isn't it? I mean, after it's back yonder a day or two beyond, huh? At the time, it wasn't funny at all. Huh? Did you ever feel like that? Well, I'll tell you, God is raising up a generation of people who can be honest and who can love each other because, well, at our church, we have people. Well, one man called me on the phone and he said, is this Pastor Worley? I said, yes. He said, well, he sounded so desperate, you know, I thought I'd go along with him. And he said, are you pastor of Hegwisch Baptist Church? I said, yes. I understand you do deliverance. I said, yes. Every service. Could I see you? I said, no. You can see me at the services. Well, I want to see you right away. I said, I'm busy. I'm going to Arkansas Monday, and I got every minute counted for. As a matter of fact, I need 2 or 3 extra days, what I've got to do already. Because I figured he lived with those demons 30 years. They weren't going to kill him overnight. He just thought they were. Well, anyway, the upshot of it was he came to church. He couldn't discuss his problem on the phone. It was just too horrible. Just too horrible. And I thought, yes. Yes, I've been through that before. I said, all right, well, you come on to church and we'll talk about it. Well, it's very bad. I said, yes, no doubt. Sure enough, he came with some of the same problems we'd heard a dozen of times. And he came up, you know, and he was going to, oh, it was so terrible. And I said, oh, is that all it was? Well, let me see. There's a fellow over there had the same thing. Hey, Mike, come over here a minute, would you? One of the boys that was here this summer. I said, he got so-and-so. Oh, praise the Lord, let's go get rid of it. He looked at him, you know. I mean, he told me he had a cancer, you know, and here I was treating it like a pimple, you know. But we knew what the answer was. We knew how to help him. Why shouldn't people? And he thought everybody looked down their noses if they heard about it, you know. For some dear lady, she just comes all bowed down with guilt and shame. Oh, I just don't know whether I can tell you or not. I said, well, have you told the Lord about it? Oh, yes, yes. Has he forgiven you? Yes. I said, well, you forgiven yourself yet? Hmm? I said, oh, yeah, that's as important as getting God to forgive you. You'll never be able to get straightened out till you forgive yourself for being such a mess. You got to accept what God says about you. Well, we've got to get to the place, people, so that we're not always hiding behind some little religious front. How is everything? Oh, wonderful. That's the way we are inside. And we're smiling on the outside. Everything's fine. And you're lying. Say, I need prayer. And get prayer. In our church, when somebody says they have a problem, people begin to put them on their prayer list, and they go up to them, and they say, hey, can I help you? Can I pray with you? Let's pray. Sure. I remember when I went through that, boy, all right, come on, let's pray. We start pouring the love on them. They feel rejected and guilty. We just start loving them. Amen. Of course, some of you been around me know that that's kind of our specialty. Nothing burns a demon's tail feathers off worse than that. The genuine love of Jesus can set people free when nothing else can. You just can't be indifferent to people's needs, friends, and you got to get involved. You got to care. It'll take some time. It'll take some loving. It'll take time you don't have. It'll take putting yourself out. And it'll take hard down honesty with yourself because about time you think you're just getting along real fine and you're just helping people right and left, the Lord will say, how about dealing that nasty thing in yourself? Who, me, Lord? You say, yep, you. I think it's about time we got down and got that out of you. And you'll have to turn and help to get some of those you helped to turn around and help you. Now, you talk about leveling things out. You talk about nobody being high and mighty. You won't have that in your churches. There won't be anybody strutting around being Mr. Important or Mrs. Great One. Because everybody's got a mess. And it's just a matter of who gets theirs cleaned up first so they can turn around and help somebody else get theirs straightened up so that we can all march forward and win. Amen? And it becomes a team project. Just like my coming to Arkansas, my church joined into this enthusiastically. Boy, they went to war. You could just see them gearing up, getting those prayer guns loaded. They're going to lock horns. They've been locking horns in the heavenlies. Some of them have been praying for a week or two already about this thing. They're shooting down the princes up here. They're holding them firm so they can't interfere with what's going on down here. And that's why some of you folks are going to get free. And I'm sure there are other folks praying. I'm not saying my folks are the only one, but I just know what my bunch is doing. They're busy praying. And they get so excited when I come back and I tell them what happened. And because, you see, this is where Bible teaching comes in. I've taught them how you draw residuals. You know what that is? That means when you invest in the ministry of somebody who goes out and you pray for them and they're made strong and wise and effective in the Lord, whatever they do, credits to your account too. And you know something? Everyone that gets help and then they go out and help somebody else, that's credit for the one who did the praying too. Now, isn't that better than sitting back and saying, I wish I could go preach. I wish I could be a missionary. Well, you can. You may not stand in the pulpit, but boy, you can gear up the fellow who is. And if he's, you say, well, he's cold and dead. Well, set fire to his tail feathers. Pray for him. The Holy Spirit will get all over him. He won't be able to contain himself. Invest yourself and go out in the person of others if you don't go in person. And God will bless you for it. And when we get to heaven, had you thought about how exciting it's going to be to find out about all these good things that we forgot, we prayed about and then forgot about and never did hear anything about it, never did know whether anything happened or not? My, 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 my. I tell our people at home, I say every once in a while somebody, some 6 months or something will go by, somebody will write us or come by and say, oh, by the way, I had a cancer and I was healed when I was here before. I said, you were? I didn't know that. Well, I only came a couple of times, but I got prayer and praise the Lord, it's gone. I was at a full gospel businessman's meeting one night over in Hammond. I was sitting there and had a layman who ran a filling station. He was up there giving a word of testimony. And he said, I just have to praise God because he healed my varicose veins. And I thought, praise God, that's great. That man's on his feet on that concrete all day long. And that must have been miserable walk around that. And he said, it's a year ago it happened. Praise the Lord. I thought, boy, I wonder who prayed for him. I'd like to know how they did that. That sounds like, because I've run across people that before, you know. And he said, I just thank God. I went over to Heckman's Baptist Church one night and Pastor Ward laid hands on me and rebuked those spirits and I hadn't had any trouble since. I said, who, me? You know, I like to fell off my chair. So, praise the Lord, I didn't know that. The Lord said, I can't tell you too much. You'd get all puffed up, you know. You just don't know how far these things are going. God tells us just enough to keep us encouraged, not enough to make us puffed up. By the way, he knows how much we can take. That may be why you're not hearing too much. Well, I have to tell you this, too. A lot of times people come to meetings like this, you know, they're looking for signs. I was preaching last night in the book of Luke about Zacharias for a sign. He got one. He was dumb for 9 months. Just thought I'd mention it. If you're asking for a sign, you might get that one. He couldn't say a word for 9 months. So be careful. Be sure that you're asking the right things when you ask for a sign. All right. Now, verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and this brought darkness to their foolish hearts. Is the first step down. A knowledge of God twisted becomes darkness. And light rejected or abused becomes darkness. Anything that God has given to be a blessing, which is perverted and twisted, sex is a blessing. But when it is twisted and taken out of the setting where God put it, in holy matrimony, it becomes a monster and a curse. And you can go right down the list. Every good thing you can think of, if it's taken out of its God-given slot and twisted and put to some other use or abuse, it becomes a curse to the people who do it. Now, they took light and it became darkness to them. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They professed with their mouth, "We know." And they became fools. Remember, Jesus met some people who said, "We know." They said, "We know." He said, "Well, now, if you said you didn't know, I could have spent some time explaining it to you. But you say that you know, therefore your sin remains." And there's nothing more ignorant or ignoranter than an ignorant religious person. Did you know that? Proverbs has a lot to say about it. It talks about the simple. That's sort of a soft word. It means ignorant or ignoramus. But how long, you ignoramuses, will you love ignorance? That's a lot stronger than how long will you simple ones love simplicity, isn't it? You thought it meant just asking something that wasn't very complicated. No, he's talking about more than that. The first step down is taking knowledge and twisting it. Now, notice what they do. They became wise in their own imaginations. And now notice what they do as a result. When you take knowledge and change it into a curse, you do something about it. Here's what they did. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. And even in this image making, there's a progression down. First of all, man, the highest creation, is the first thing that's made into an image to be worshipped. Then when they descend down the ladder of idolatry, birds, well, that's not as high as man, but they're flying in the air. And then four-footed beasts, notice it's getting lower. And finally, the creeping things. The old serpent himself becomes the object of worship. When you get down to snake handling and worshiping snakes, you're on the bottom of the idolatry ladder. But you can go lower. When you do this, when you move down and you watch idolatry, if you've ever studied comparative religions, heathenism will first worship man. And they'll have a Buddha, or they'll have some creature that's like a man or a woman. And then as the religion slides down the track, it'll get lower. They'll have birds, or they'll have human beings with birds' heads, or they'll have four-footed beasts, and finally snakes. Creeping things, lizards, and this sort of thing. Now, what does God do as a result of this first plunge off? He gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And they step down from idolatry, they take a nosedive down, and they end up to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, the next step down is to go into heterosexual relationships, illicit sexual relationships, and these will be practiced as a part of the worship of these images. This is going on today in the East. It's going on in India, and all kinds of things like this are practiced. And it's bad enough to be immoral, but it's worse, I think, to do it as a religious exercise. And this was what was incorporated in every one of the religions that God ordered destroyed out of the land of Canaan when the Israelites went in. And witchcraft is always wound around this sort of thing, because witchcraft always leads to sexual immorality. It's all wound together. It's one nasty ball. But the first step is idol worship. The next step is immorality. And then the bottom of the skid is where we are in America today. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even the women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. They became lesbians. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that which is recompense of their error, which was meet or fitting. And this is homosexuality. One of the translations says that they receive a mark in their personality as a result of this. And boy, that's really true. Now, in other words, it's not just simply a matter of religiously worshiping an idol. It's not just a matter of committing immorality. It's not even just a matter of homosexual relationships and all sorts of sex perversion. These are all demonic steps down to lead men away to the place where they will be cursed and away from God. The devil has always pressured people to move away from the truth. His demons work tirelessly to get people away from the truth of God. This is why. Let me mention this. Anyone who gets off doctrinally on major biblical truth is not far from becoming off morally. He or she will end up in sexual immorality or homosexuality or something of the sort. If a person gets off morally into heterosexual or homosexual relationship, it will not be long until they will become off biblically. They'll go off biblically. I can document this with cases all across the country. We have some cases. One of the leaders in the shepherding movement recently ran off and left his wife and 5 children with another woman. I'm glad he wasn't my shepherd. I'm glad we just have one. Hallelujah. Otherwise, I'd be terribly discouraged, wouldn't you? Bob Harrington went off with his secretary. I'm sorry. These are terrible things, and I don't want to be the bearers of negative things. But you know, I get a little tired of these positive folks sometimes. I never saw a car that would crank on a positive pole. I live in the pole country, and there are times when won't turn over, and you got to get a jumper on there. And you don't just hook a cable onto the positive cable and say, okay, turn her over. That won't do. You got to get positive, negative, boy, then fire shoots. I don't believe in living in the negative, but I believe in facing facts, and I'm not a Pollyanna. I don't hide my head in the sand. And you say, well, I heard about these preachers that went off. Yeah, that's right. Well, I know a bunch of laymen that went off, too, more than that, because there's more of them than there are preachers. You say, you know a rotten preacher? I know a barrel full of them. It doesn't make any difference. That didn't change God's mind about anything. If everybody on earth fails, Jesus is still right. Amen. If everybody goes down the tube, Jesus is still on the throne. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with him. I'm not going to fall out with him about what his folks do. Are you? Stay rightly related to Jesus. He's the one you're supposed to be following. I know it's hard to take when leaders plunge off, but you don't know what pressure they were under either. And you see, if deliverance is being practiced, a lot of this would have been headed off. Some of those preachers, the reason they went off with somebody's wife is because nobody ever dealt with the lust spirits in them. They told them that you can't have a demon when you're Christian. So that boy fought with that thing for all those years, and all of a sudden the devil caught him just at the right time. And he wrecked his home and somebody else's and tore up a whole church and disappointed hundreds of people sometimes. Don't you see that deliverance is so necessary? We've got to root these things out, not just play around with them. We don't just slap them on the wrist. We want them to get out and get gone so that people can really walk with the Lord. And I'm not making excuses. There's no excuse for the... You say, well, the poor thing, he guess he was just demonized. I guess it's all right. No, it's not all right. You go down there, if you go down to Hot Springs, and you're driving along, and you see one of these little, put little lights up there, you know, it turns red, and you just go... And all of a sudden, there's a friendly man right behind you blinking a light at you, you know. Waving at you, you know. You know, and you think, you wave back, and he just keeps waving. Up in our part of the world, they have blue bubble gum machines on the top. And he pulls you over, and you say, what is it, officer? He said, you went through a red light. She said, yeah. What's the matter with that? May I see your driver's license, please? Oh, he is interested in you, isn't he? Well, see your driver's license. Now, you see, ignorance of the law is no excuse. The remedy for running through the red light is found under your foot. It's a brake. The remedy for immorality is also found inside. You say, well, I need a brake job. Well, God's got an overhaul shop. It's called the Bible. And deliverance will replace the defective parts. But those that'll work. So ignorance is not really an excuse, you see. Now, we've come up in a society that just winked at everything and said everything goes and nothing's bad. And God never has agreed to that. I believe I'll just stay with him, huh? Because I read that, boy, Verse 28, even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. And if you'll watch and read and listen to some of these people who've gone over this precipice and are off in free love, some of the actors and actresses, you know, they just take up with one another now. Of course, I guess if you're on divorce 5 or 6 times, it's not worth going through the Bible. You might as well just sort of take up with one another. I mean, you know, people make mistakes, but when they make the same one, I think there's something wrong. Don't you? Amen or oh me. But anyway, I just believe that it's time for people to be realistic about these things. If you're just going to swap beds, let's just put it plain, there's something wrong with your thinking. So what are they doing? They're justifying it. They're laughing about it. Having children out of wedlock, nothing wrong with that. We didn't want to get married because, you know, we didn't want to spoil our relationship. Now, my Bible says they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, and they don't. Every one of those birds, if you watch and check them out, nearly every one of them is into transcendental meditation, yoga, or some kind of occult tinkering. They don't want God in their knowledge. They're looking for something else. And it'll justify anything they want to do. There's no such thing as sin. And people come to us a lot of times. So I tell our people, I said, don't start off counseling with people. Find out what the need, hit the demons full speed ahead. You can always counsel if you need to later. I said, most of the people who come here, their ears have been counseled all before they got here. If counseling would have helped, they'd have been a perfect individual a long time ago. Because everybody from the psychiatrist to pastors have counseled with them and it didn't help. And that's why they're here. You just don't realize, unless you live in a deliverance-oriented church, what comes into the church. I mean, they drag in, they literally come in like this. Is this Hagwish? I hear you. New deliverance here, is that right? They told me to come here. They said it couldn't hurt anything. I've really had them tell me that. I mean, the fundamental believer just threw up their hands and said, well, going down there, it can't hurt anything. Nothing could make you any worse. We're going to have to lock you up in the insane asylum anyway or bury you one. Just and miracle of miracles, some of those people now are busy helping set other people free. And they're telling everyone. And now then the people that sent them, they're mad at them. I'll tell you, the hypocrisy of the religious world is unbelievable. They say we can't do anything about it. And then when somebody else does, they get mad about it. And especially when they can't keep their mouth shut about it. And how can you keep your mouth shut when you've been set free, huh? I mean, you've just been set free. Praise the Lord. It's too good to keep. The 3 steps down, idolatry, illicit sex, homosexuality. And look how cleverly the devil winds it in with religion. And sex and religion are wound together. Don't kid yourself. They run on parallel tracks. The sex drive and the drive to the supernatural are built in. Each of them are extremely and intensely powerful. And they run on parallel tracks. And boy, if they get crossed, I'm telling you, it's a mess. It can be a mess. Some preachers have gone down the trail because they got busy counseling somebody's wife who was unhappy. And I get an unhappy sister. First of all, I make sure there's a house full of people around. She ain't going to go out and tell people, oh, I did this or that. Whatever happens will be right out in the wide open spaces. They'll say, can I talk to you privately? I say, yeah, let's slide over here on this bench. This is my private office. But not over 75 or 80 people working in the auditorium. But it's private. Nobody's paying any attention. Everybody's busy. That's just as private as you can get, isn't it? Oh, listen. Don't slide into the devil's trap. Jesus said, all things have I done openly, nothing have I done in secret. Hide, friend, there's something wrong. We're not ashamed of what we're doing. We keep it in the wide open under the bright open lights. If you were here this summer, you saw how we do it. You got a sample. We had 25 samples. And we had fun all afternoon. They're still praising the Lord about that. I don't know how many of them came up to me and said, tell so-and-so hello. And I can't even remember who all they said. They said, tell you hello. And they still remember you and pray for you. Thank God for this campaign. We're praying for a whole chain of camps across the country. Wouldn't that be great so they could just have a whole chain of places where they could be workers? Listen, I got a bunch of fanatics that'd be tickled to death go spend their vacation a week at a camp just to help people get free. Back up the preachers and pray for them while they're preaching and plow into the demon's den and get them free. You may think I'm putting you on, but I'm not. There's a young man getting married in April, he and his girlfriend. He didn't get to come to Arkansas this time, but he's been on some of the trips I've made. He went to Houston with us and some other places. Well, he and Gloria are engaged to get married in April. They're going to get married in April. Well, our kids are crazy because they think it'd be great if a demon would break out in their wedding and have to be dealt with, you know, so everybody could see all those unbelieving relatives, see that they're real. They really do. I said, that's no place for that to happen, but they think it'd be great. And so I have to pray real hard. Lord, just make it sweet. Sweet. Those crazy kids don't know what they're praying for, you know. This last boy, we just had a wedding this last week, and a young man's down in Pensacola in Bible school, and he came in to get married, and he was very disappointed because there was no prophecy or message in tongues at his wedding, and the relatives on both his family and her family were all Roman Catholic, and the church was full. And they wanted so much for a prophecy to come forth, message in tongues, because he said it's a sign for unbelievers, and he thought that'd be just great at his wedding if it'd come forth. And I always have to give the plan of salvation. The kids are very explicit about this. We used to have a whole bunch of single kids. Now we got a whole bunch of married ones. And they've just been marrying off right and left. But they all pray for the Holy Spirit to move in their weddings. And it is just beautiful what the Lord does in those weddings. Now this one boy I started to tell you about, they're getting married in April. He came up to me. He said, Brother Worley, he said, Gloria and I were praying about the other night. Said, do you have any meetings anywhere in April when we're getting married? And I said, well, nothing's definitely scheduled yet. He said, we got to thinking about it. We got so excited. Wouldn't it be thrilling to go and spend our honeymoon and fight demons at night with Brother Worley, and then we could have our honeymoon in the daytime? Some of the ladies are looking shocked. Now, Gloria thought that'd be great, too. I mean, you just have to like something. And you see, at our church, deliverance is not a nasty, old, dirty thing that you have to do. Oh, dear, it's my turn. No, they line up and say, can I? You know, do I get to this time? You know, do I get to pray with them? With us, it's a joyful responsibility and privilege to plow into the devil and plow his country. Well, you see, if you're going to stay at war all the time, the soldiers have to enjoy the battle or they burn out. Ours burn high. They get all excited. And then they just enjoy exchanging information about what the devil is, what they learned about putting the pressure on the demon here. If you do this, it'll do another. Before I leave here, I'm going to preach on the spirits of God, loosing the spirits of God. Tell you some things we've learned, because, boy, I'll tell you, it works. And I won't get into that now. But be careful about religion and sex. They tangle up together. Be sure you keep your relationship to the Lord, to Him alone. Keep sex in the place where God put it, in holy matrimony. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, of course you can. Who made your body? God said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Who, is there anything too hard for me? You say, yeah, I just can't control myself. Well, that's because you don't want to. And you started not wanting to when you were a little kid. And it's been the habit of your life so long until you don't, you really are honest, you don't have control. But you can have. That's the good news. God will get rid of those spirits that have come in. Some of them you were born with. Some of them you got so soon after you were born you don't ever remember not having them. But God can take care of all of that and set you free. And that's the good news. Now, we don't have all the answers. There's a lot more I don't know about demons than there is that I do. But I'm not going to wait till I learn everything, till I can write the encyclopedia, the 50-volume encyclopedia on the subject. I'm going to use what little I know and crowbar those rascals out of there. And I may not do it the way some people do it. I've had them come up to me at the church, you know, and said, that's not the way to do that. I said, it's not. No. You're supposed to speak, and they leave. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's the way you do it off your place? Yeah. I said, praise the Lord. Walk over and speak. Those workers will back off and let you speak to that right now. Been fighting with it 2 hours. Sure, boy, any help's welcome, you know, in a battle. One boy looked at me and he said, I don't feel led to. I said, fella, I like the way we get them out better than I like the way you don't get them out. And until you know something about it, you better just keep your chopper shut, because you don't know nothing. I said, anybody can bat butterflies and chase blackbirds, but if you grab a rhinoceros or a wild tiger by the tail and give it a yank and say, come out of there, he'll turn around and say, what did you say? Just who do you think you are? He'll say, well, I've broken all the curses. He says, so what? You say, I've taken away all your legal ground and all your legal holes. He said, so what? I'm still staying. I'm here, ain't I? By the way, they all use bad grammar. One time I asked him, I said, why do you use bad grammar? Even polished people that are college graduates and always use correct English, they'll always use bad grammar. And I said, why do you do that? He said, rules for you stupid clods of dirt, not for us. We break rules. We don't observe them. Watch your grammar. But seriously, I believe that God has given us a ministry that will set men and women free. I not only believe it, I've seen it work. All these 7 years, I've seen hundreds of people come loose. I don't even know how many. I don't even care how many. I've seen some go slide back, but I've seen most of them go on. Praise the Lord. I've seen stupendous healings as a result. If you read Conquering the Host of Hell, you read about the little kid with the blood tumor on his neck. His grandparents were here this summer fighting the demons. And that blood tumor, they couldn't operate on, was slowly killing that child, throttling him to death. Beautiful little child. Mama was so full of demons herself, she said, no, I'm not bringing him to church. Grandma said, let me take him. No. So Mama got sick. And Grandma had to take care of the baby, so guess where she brought him? And guess what started happening to that tumor? It started shrinking. From the first time we prayed, we'd pray and smite that thing. Every time that child would come, we'd smite it, and that thing would shrink. Just a little at a time. And you can't even find it. Now, the only thing there is the scars where they burned his little neck trying to burn that thing with cobalt, which didn't work. And the doctor said he'll never get rid of the tracheotomy. But he did. He hadn't got a trache now. He got a little scar where it was, but he's breathing. And I see him at church. He's a little blonde-headed, blue-eyed kid. And I say, hi, Bradley. Praise the Lord. And he said, praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you, the dividends are beautiful. There's a young man who stands up. He's surrendered his life to preach. And he came in from school. He'd been away in Dallas to linguistic school. He hopes to go to the mission field. And he came in and he stood up to sing, I'm a soldier. And his dad and mother sat over there, Polish Roman Catholics, and wept because his dad told me some time ago, he said, he was so heavily demonized when he was a child that we thought he was retarded. He couldn't learn at all. And said, when I see him up there shining and ministering to the Lord, I can't hold the tears back. It's just too wonderful what Jesus has done for me and my family. Now, that's the sort of thing that just keeps you going. A lot of this flack from the side, these old, I don't believe in that. They're telling you why it won't work in their church, too. You ever hear a preacher say, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I never spoke in them. It isn't any surprise to me. I didn't believe in it. I didn't either. The Bible said, those who believe, they shall speak in new languages. The Bible also said, those who believe, they shall cast out demons. Uh-oh. What you been doing lately? I recommend this as an untouched field. You can go almost anywhere you want to. There was a young man came in our church the other day, and he was a Jewish young fellow, been born again. By the way, you might pray about this. There's a Jewish Hebrew Christian pastor that wrote Deliverance to the Local Church in the Conquering the Host of Hell, and he's the middle of January to Washington, D.C., to a new Hebrew congregation, and they have specifically asked him to come and establish a deliverance ministry. And he told me, he said, when, as soon as I get there, I want you to, when I get settled down, a few months, get kind of lined up, I want you to come over and kick off a meeting, help us get really rolling, because he's already got deliverance going in that Chicago Hebrew church he's got. And he's a Wheaton graduate, Presbyterian seminary boy. He's got all the credentials. Plus, he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he's a demon fighter. Isn't that great?
Hallelujah.
And so, anyway, and get this. We've been praying about Washington and a breakthrough in the nation's capital, and one of the president's secretaries goes to that church. I don't know what's going to come of that, if anything does, but I think it's interesting. The Lord spoke to my wife a long time ago. And she came to me and she said, "When the Lord says this thing is going to go straight into the White House." I said, "You're kidding." She said, "I know it sounds silly, but said that's what the Lord said." Now, wouldn't that do something? Can you imagine deliverance breaking out on Capitol Hill? Talk about prospects. My. Is it impossible? No. It's incredible. Unbelievable, but it could happen if we pray, if we believe God. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference to me which way it goes, just whichever way God wants it to go. I just thought it was interesting this happened, didn't you? Just keep on praying, people, and don't get discouraged because everybody turns their nose at you and sticks their tongue out at you and all that, like, look at you like you got B.O. or something. You know, I mean, really, they're the ones who ought to be ashamed. They're the ones who ought to be seeking knowledge. Just keep your spirit sweet. They didn't like Jesus either. They got all upset every time he did it. He did it on the streets. You hear them griping and bellyaching about my book and about the Millers and Big Miller and Little Miller over here and Carol and some of these other nuts that are taking it into their churches. I just tell them, well, you know, they're not out on the streets doing it. Jesus and the disciples did it on the streets. Would you rather have them do it out on the streets? A lot of times people come visit our church and they'll be looking, kind of look like you can slap their eyes off of the paddle, you know, and I'll walk over and I'll say, "This your first time here?" They say, "Yes." I said, "You ever seen anything like this?" And "No, I don't believe I have." And I said, "Oh, isn't this the way they do it over at your church?" He said, "No, not exactly." But you see, we have a definite program in our church. We're very programized. We're Southern Baptists, and you should be. We're Hagwish Baptist Church, and we're in the tip of South Chicago that makes us Southern Baptists. You can't go much souther without getting out of Chicago. But seriously, I always tell people we have quiet devotional type services followed by kicking, screaming, hollering, and fighting. And that's the order of service. Now, if the demons would come out quiet, there wouldn't be any noise. Except the saints praising the Lord, but they kick up quite a rumpus. As a rule, they don't like to leave, and so, you know, they make a lot of racket. We don't. We just sit there and laugh at them sometimes and talk to them about where they're going and, you know, discuss their travel plans. I usually tell them, I say, "You know, Tartarus is beautiful this time of the year. Would you like to go?" He said, "Shut your mouth, Worley. Tartarus has never been." I said, "Well, I never have been there." But he said, "Well, I know about it, and it's not." And I said, "Wouldn't you just love to go and cut mallows under the nettles over in the dry place?" He said, "Shut your mouth, Worley. That's a horrible place. I've been there. I don't want to go anymore." I said, "Guess what I've got in mind for you? I have a vacation tour for you." He said, "It's lonely over there." I said, "You want everybody to talk to?" I said, "Worley, you don't have any mercy." I said, "You're right. You Christians are supposed to have mercy." I said, "I do toward the person you're in. But," I said, "you, you got it, big boy. You're leaving. Praise the Lord." I'd rather see the devil running in the other direction and carrying on. Oh, I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. Did you ever see, you say, "Well, I've seen some Christians, and they get all carried away with this. You know, it's just undignified." Well, now, did you ever see about five coon dogs going out hunting coons? Maybe have two old dogs and then three or four young ones. And did you ever see those young ones when they first spot that coon? They nearly go out of their mind. I mean, they never climb that tree after that thing. It's the same thing when Christians get turned loose on them. First time they spot one, hear one, say, "There's one." Woo! And they get all excited and they go after him. Well, of course. So you got that instinct built into you. You just know it's there. So not me, I'm scared. Oh, is that so? Well, you just told me something about yourself. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear is not from the Lord. You have nothing to fear because the blood is sufficient. I'm going to have to quit. Oh, Brother Miller calls me down on that. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, brother. Why don't you ring the gong? My clock must be fast. It is. Let's stand, huh? I want us to sing in just a moment something about that name. Everybody, I think, knows that. And If there's somebody here who needs help, I asked Brother Miller how he wanted to close this, and he said, well, if somebody may be here who needs help, if they want help, of course, come. You never high pressure. If you want deliverance, it won't run you down. You'll have to seek it. But Jesus will help you if you want help. Let's sing it softly. Something about that name. Jesus. If you happen to be here and you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart, by all means, make sure about it tonight. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. If you'd pray something like this, Lord Jesus, if I've never really asked in my heart before, I'm asking you now to come into my heart. He'll come in. If you've got confusion about salvation, come and seek help today. The Word of God has the answer. There are many workers here who'd be glad to help you, share with you. If you need prayer for other things, if you're being driven, harassed, and tormented, that's how demons work. Come and seek the help you need.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.